All right, let's follow up from Mark 5 this morning to Isaiah 30. I'm going to read a few verses here and then Isaiah 31. So let's start with a few verses in Isaiah 30, and then we'll go to chapter 31. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them, or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. In chapter 31, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and to horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. For thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword not of man, and a sword not of mankind shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to the stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, it would certainly be the most logical thing for this nation to trust in the Lord. There is nothing wiser than to apply the reality of your existence and call upon you for mercy, seek to be right with you and in your favor. And yet, Lord, this is what we see not happening because of the foolishness of men's hearts who do not know you. We live in darkness, blindness. We are deaf and dumb, unable to perceive the most logical things because of our fall. And so, Lord, you call us by the prophets and you save, because some of this seed falls on good ground, good hearts, and men are converted. And others are continually seeking for the solution to problems, and the solution has already been given in you. So, Lord, we're thankful to you that you are our hope and our trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I mentioned this morning that the world has problems, and we could really honestly not exhaust the list tonight. And some problems just come because we're living in a world that is imperfect and fallen, but a lot of problems come about by our own doing as a society. And a lot of the things that are happening right now, which are being trumpeted as great advances, by the way, are nothing more than the corruption of sin and the decay and foolishness that sin has brought. And the results we are getting are those we have actually brought upon ourselves in many cases. They're problems of trade and finance. People are always wondering how we can make more money, how we can be more stable, and what would be the solution to that. The corruption in government and the corruption in all who have authority, who you can trust, how you can rely upon people who lie all the time. There are problems in education. Right now, the educational system is being pummeled by a bunch of whining kids. If you follow the news at all, you know that kids are demanding this and demanding that, and they don't want to be in a place where someone might come up to them and say something they disagree with because it'll hurt their feelings. And they want to be coddled and served. They want to tell the schools who to hire. They want to tell the schools who to fire. They want to tell us that we need to get over racism, so we need to hire more on the basis of race. And there's a great hatred against so many who call for tolerance. It's awful right now, and you're seeing a lot of cowardly school officials, administrators, bowing to these people. When I knew 30 years ago, 40 years ago, someone would have taken a stick to them, and it'd all have been better. But not these days. It's completely off. And they say, give us a free education. Give us a free tuition. Give us free food. Give us free everything because we, you know, demand it. There are problems of health care. That's been made worse in our day. Every doctor you talk to, I was at the eye doctor the other day. There was a doctor in there. I didn't know who it was. But he was talking about he was still practicing. He was elderly, getting on up, I guess. I couldn't tell really he was that old. But he said, yeah, it's this, all this, everything's changed. Insurance things have changed. We don't like it, but we got to go do what we do. I've never heard any doctor say anything good about the current situation. It's all bad, trying to fix something that, you know, and make it worse. There are problems of racism in all walks of life. Not that there's more racism, there's less than years past, but more demands and more whining and activism in that regard. There's problems with sexual morality and sexual immorality. You can't talk about Jesus, and you can say all kinds of evil things about Jesus. But if you say anything about Bruce Jenner still being a man, people are all over you, upset. You're a homophobe, or you're a gender phobe, I guess. And so there's that, and nobody's trying to fix that in our society because they don't think it's a problem that men don't know they're men and women don't know they're women. Families have certainly their share of problems. Churches have problems. People have problems. And there's so much unrest and lack of peace in people. And they seek out counseling and they seek out some sort of treatment just to be able to calm down. Remember the man this morning who's possessed by the legion of demons. And he had no rest at all. He was raging all the time. He had nothing where he could sit down and be still and have a peaceful mind. Because inside of him were raging, angry demons just stirring inside of him. We're not told how they came to be in him, but that he was full of them. And that the demons were such that when they left him and went into the swine in madness fled down the hill and drowned in the sea. So we look for people to solve problems. How do you get peace in the Middle East? When one side says, the Arab lands say that they will not rest and they will not stop fighting until Israel ceases to be a nation on the face of the earth. Once we get rid of every one of them, then we'll have peace. How can you ever have peace with that? People are trying. And we like people if they can solve a problem. I think probably what the next big thing in the course of human events will be is when the Antichrist comes and solves that problem in an evil way. We'll see. But if a person is a surgeon and can solve a problem, a person who is a diplomat can solve a problem, we like that. Well, so why is it that the world doesn't like God? God is not a problem solver in a little way. He's a foundational solver. He solves the biggest problem that we have that causes so much of these other things. Why is it that there's hatred by students on college campuses? It's not about racism. It's about sin. And why is it that the Arabs hate the Jews and vice versa? It's because of a lack of a relationship with God, the true God. The Arabs, the Muslims, believe that it's their duty from their false God and their false prophet to kill everybody. How do you ever solve that except they come to Christ? To bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. And when they're not doing that, what are they doing? Cutting off heads and killing children and women and all sorts of other evil things. But the Lord has proven himself, and we saw it this morning with this man who was demon-possessed. He can solve the most difficult case ever and bring people together. You look in the scriptures, you see that the Bible speaks of peace between nations, all brought about by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody alive who can bring a peace like that in our world. Many claim they're going to be, if you just elect them, they're going to do all that, but they cannot. The heart, the realm of the heart where the demons possessed this man, his spirit, he had an unclean spirit. His spirit had been contaminated and taken over by unclean spirits. And so his spirit, his demeanor, his situation, his nature was all unclean. And he was self-destructive, and we see that today. He was angry. Raging, we see that today. People get so angry when they don't get their way, more than ever, it seems. But here comes the Lord and says, I can solve your problems. And here's how he says it. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we have the option of eternal life. Death to life. That is as complete a reversal as you can have. And so this is the way the Bible describes it. We are dead. We are unable even to breathe. We are so in the devil's kingdom that we do not have freedom. If the Son shall make you free, Jesus says, then you shall be free. All these people saying they want freedom. Give us freedom. Give us rights. You don't get that in the world. You get it through Christ. Those he gave the right to become children of God through faith in his name. That's where you get that. So there it is. We tell the world, if you would submit to Christ, you will have peace. You will have life. And what does the world say? Stick it in your ear. It's like this, I believe. If a father had cancer and someone offered to cure the cancer if you would sacrifice your child. Sacrifice your child, father or mother, and cancer, your cancer will be cured, and not many would do that. And that's the way the world looks at sin. And when you say you got to leave your sin and come to Christ, they say, no, we love our sin too much. We love our independence from God, who'll take away our sins and take away all of our fun, because the only thing that the sinner can see is how much better off he is if he's not a Christian. And you'll note how the name Christian is trashed in the media today. Our president's letting in all kinds of Muslims. He will not let any Christians in from these places where there are refugees. The name of Christian is being dishonored. And the world is willing to endure a host of ills. A lot of habits that they can't break. A lot of destruction that they can't overcome. As long as they do not have to submit to God. That is a price they're willing to pay. So they will not repent. And they will not believe. Because they do not want to live another lifestyle. And make their life, in their view, a living hell. Because that's the way they see Christianity. Oh, I can't get drunk all the time. I can't go sleeping around with all the people I want to sleep around with. We're told today that's healthy. We can't do any of that stuff. Why would I want a life like that? And so this is the way the devil has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God shine upon them. And this is the way the world views it. So the world is willing to accept these problems they can't solve. They'll keep talking about how they will solve them, how they're working on it, how they're going to fix the problems of human behavior. There's a new drug here. There's a new therapy here. There's somebody over here you can talk to. And all in all it goes. We tackled, as I've mentioned before here, we tackled poverty in the 60s. Wipe out poverty in the 60s. Have you noticed how it's wiped out? It's the same, exactly the same percentages. It's a matter of economics. It can never be. Jesus said it, you have the poor with you always. And that's just the common sense. So these townsfolk this morning, these who were in the town and the swine were sent down the hill by the demons, they were that way. How could this man, who has been all over this place as a terror, how could that man be sitting here on that day, clothed and in his right mind? How could it be? And they were told how it would be, that Jesus did that. And so what did they want of Jesus? Please, please leave. If I were to fulfill my dream one day of going into the hospital and just start on the first floor of patients, I guess that'd be floor two here locally, and go up there and just every room I go into, whatever the problem is, I go over there and touch that person and they're healed. Do you think people want me to leave? Do you think the people on the third floor want me to leave before I got up there? Or the fourth floor? Suppose someone just comes and says, listen, it's our job to treat people here. You don't have a license. All this healing, you just can't do here. You think the third floor is going to be upset about that? People up there sick. And yet, this is what they did. They said, you cannot be here. We're afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid for their souls. They were afraid of answering to God. And they didn't want to think about it. And you know, it's enough in our day if you just don't have to think about these things. The world is attacking all sorts of displays of Jesus and religion, Christian religion, because they just don't want to think about it. Get it out of my mind. It's still there. They just don't want to think about it. So we see here in this passage, Isaiah 30, that Israel trusted in Egypt. There's always a sense in humans that there's another answer, there's a human answer. There's something we can do. And so, verse 1 of chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. It's not that they despise counseling, they do not seek it from the Lord. and who devise plans, but not of my spirit. They're not against plans. People are always talking about their plans. All the presidential candidates talking about their plans. But who devise plans, but not of my spirit. They're not led by the will of God. We know the Spirit knows the mind of God and will lead according to His will. They don't want that. They take counsel, but not of the Lord. They devise plans, but not of the Spirit. They choose their own remedies, and they're headstrong about it. Rebellious children, they're called. Because the aftermath of rebellion is misery and death and hopelessness. But they're willing to take it. They rebel because they want to be free of the law of God. And we're told in the verse 1, they add sin to sin. They just keep going farther down the hole. They add sin to sin. Tar Baby, remember Tar Baby? Tar Baby was, I forget the story, Brer Rabbit or something. The more you hit Tar Baby, the more you got stuck to Tar Baby. So once you started whacking on Tar Baby, you got tar all over, you got stuck to Tar Baby, and there's nothing you could do, you stuck there. That's the way I remember the story. And so they add sin to sin. They go down the path, and the path they go down, verse 2 says, is to Egypt. Egypt is a power. And they have not asked my advice. And they go to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Being the shadow of Egypt is descriptive of being right there in Egypt. And if you go to Egypt, that's what the exiles asked Jeremiah. We got to go to Egypt. If we go to Egypt, we'll be safe. This is always the rationale. We need to get away from this war-torn area. We don't have any walls in the city. We're all messed up here. Let's go to Egypt. We'll be safe there. They don't ask God. They don't trust God. There's always, it seems, another way to go than the Lord. And there it is. The devil makes it available. And there we go. There they went to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verse 3, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them, or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. See, it did not work out in this particular instance. You cannot. Egypt may be a more civilized place than where you are, but it's not your solution. It's not your Savior. And yet there went. And look at chapter 31 then. We see the same thing. It's listed as a woe. You don't want Jesus? What are you going to do? People have great anxiety in their hearts and minds. There's a whole industry in this country, in this world, of having a solution to inner turmoil by means of human-generated, founded advice. And so they seek the world for the peace. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Woe. It's a woe in a couple of ways. It's woeful because here they have hope in something that cannot save them. Would you say woe to these Muslim terrorists who do all these evil things? They don't call themselves that way. They don't speak of themselves in that fashion. They don't say, woe is me, I'm going over to blow myself up and kill a bunch of innocent people. They don't say it that way. They rejoice that they're doing it. Woe. The Jews going to Egypt thought it would be a great thing. No, woe. It's the opposite. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, because in their minds they're hopeful and it lets them down. And the second angle, aspect of that is that Egypt can't help them. If they're not right with God, no one can. Rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But notice this, who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Asa, the king of Judah, we're told, has had a disease, I think, in his feet, and he would not seek the Lord. People get funny about things. They get in the world and they start trusting in the world. We're not commanded not to go to the things that are given. I mean, you got a headache, take an aspirin. But there is a system of trust in the world that a person can adopt in their minds, and it's so in there that they do not trust in the Lord. They do not seek the Lord. That's what it said here of Israel. Yet, verse 2, he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. What exactly do you gain, Isaiah is saying, from the Lord? By going to another nation who is not right with God, and you stay not right with God, and you don't trust God, and they don't trust God, what does that do with God? You see, it's this whole thing of out of sight, out of mind. I don't see the Lord. I don't see the manger. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to read verses on buildings. Therefore, I'm okay. You're in the same situation, just without any light. If you were in a place where you had a very narrow plank to walk on, and there were all these snakes down below there, rattlesnakes, and you didn't want to look at them, they scared you, so you said, just turn the lights out, I don't want to see them anymore while I walk across this plank. Are you better off? The snakes just say, well, he turned the light off now, there's nothing we can do. We can't see to bite him when he falls down amongst us. It's foolishness. The problem remains. He is wise and will bring disaster. Adam and Eve trying to run away from the Lord did not. You can't get away from the Lord. In Ezekiel trying to hide in this, you can't get away from the Lord. So, verse 3 gives us the obvious thing. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. There's a thought here that if they got horses and they got men, they're on an equal plane to God and the Spirit, to God's ability to aid them. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, that would be Egypt, and he who is helped will fall down, that would be Israel. They will all perish together. So the plan had become more secular. We're in a secular world. Increasingly more. And our secular world wants us to depend upon it for all the solutions that we have. And so our secular world right now tells us that it's a healthy thing. I'm just using this as it's most current. The world tells us that if we want to identify as the opposite sex, that's healthy. That's what the world tells us. It's a mental illness and a product of sin. That if a person, we say, if a person thinks they're Teddy Roosevelt, we say there's something wrong with their mind. But why couldn't someone identify as Teddy Roosevelt if they wanted to? If they can identify as a woman if they're a man, and a man if they're a woman. Why not say I am Abraham Lincoln? I would like my back pay from the time I was president, and you haven't paid me since 1865. Why can't they do that? Why can't they say, I want to be a puppy dog? I shouldn't have to work. I need to have somebody, you know, feed me and take care of me. And why not? What about, I'm 21, but I'd like not to work, so I want to proclaim myself to be 65. And I want to start drawing Social Security. Why not? It's called wisdom when the world does the most insane things and they don't reckon on the realities of the Lord and their own condition. They fall down, those who help fall down, they all perish together. Verse 4. Here's how the Lord is portrayed. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds, and this parenthesis here says that when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. See, if someone's against the Lord, he doesn't care as to the threat. The Lord, I mentioned in prayer earlier, the Lord could have put all those demons that we saw this morning in that man, could have put them in prison at the beginning. Taken away all the demons, taken away all the unclean spirits, the devil, everybody, away. He did not do that. Some were told, and Peter, I think, that they're kept in darkness, or Jude as well. But he could have just wiped all that out. Why didn't he? Because it doesn't threaten the Lord. The Lord is not threatened by these things. So a shepherd, the Lord is described here as, if a multitude of shepherds rise up against him as he shepherds his flock, then he doesn't care. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. The Lord is not running away. He is not scared off. He runs and defends Mount Zion. And he's also described himself in verse 5 as birds. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Now, Assyria was the problem. And Assyria was what Israel was trying to get away from for overcoming Judah. And so Judah wants to be free of the threat of Assyria. So what do? They want to get a pact with Egypt. Egypt's got an army. Egypt's got power. Egypt's got horses and men. We need them. But the Lord says, if you trust in me, I will take care of you like a lion and like birds. The thought here is birds that fly around. It's like he's all around. Birds are all around what birds are protecting. And the Lord defending from every side will deliver Jerusalem. And we're told then that the answer is to return to the Lord. Verse 6, return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. So the nation of Israel have revolted against the Lord. For in that day, every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. When the threat comes from Assyria, their false gods that they've brought up, and that's another way that people try to deal with their problems without going to the Lord, is to make an idol. They're just nothing. The good for firewood, if they're wood. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword not of man, and a sword not of mankind shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace in Jerusalem. Now, that's exactly what happened, by the way. If you look at Isaiah 37, it says, the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when Isaiah 37, 36, have I not told you the verse? And in the morning people arose. There were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained in Nineveh. It came to pass that he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezah, his son, struck him down with a sword, and they escaped into the hand of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. It says right there in Isaiah 31, he will fall by the sword, not of man, and he will flee from the sword. He'll go back. He'll cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. The Lord will take care of him. The Lord did, delivering Jerusalem from Assyria's attack. Israel. So now to us, we have to trust in the Lord. Our nation will never solve the problems that are systemic in being in rebellion against God. You cannot be in rebellion against God. You can't be in rebellion against your mom if you live at home and think things are going to go well. They're not going to. You can't greet your dad every day with, I'm not going to do one thing you say while I'm in this house, and expect him to give you a bunch of stuff and show you favor and have peace in that house. It's not going to happen. And so it is in living in this world. If you can't go to Egypt, you're still in God's world. You can't go anywhere. And we've got to trust in the Lord. And this is why we're doing our nation, as salt and light, we're doing our nation the greatest service by clinging to the Lord. Because if we continue down this road, which we seem to have every intention of doing, then we will be in the same place. Shame, and we'll all perish together. And so we as God's people must spread the word. And we can't judge how it always is working out. But it's always our job to proclaim Christ as the answer to the world's most basic fundamental problems. Once you get that solved, so many others are no longer a problem. And we have that gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to share. Let's all stand.